He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the Westside Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. 244-9234. That's our line here. We're going to get ready. School Talk is in session. I'm like, well, 244-9234, 244-WBDG, all that good stuff. My producer's in the house.
Hey.
Zach.
How you doing?
My director of programming, my station manager's in the house. He's in here. John Easter's in
I snatched Mr. Goins
down the hallway. I know you got to get his classes together. So I want to catch him before he goes into his class. But I got to do it right. Let's do the big board first, and I want to do this correctly.
All right. Talking on the big board, we got Shrek the Musical coming November 20th with 21st and 22nd. Also, Ben Davis Lady Giants will be at Brownsburg Saturday at 7:30. Ben Davis Boys Basketball, Franklin Central will be at Ben Davis November 25th at 7:30 here in the main gym. Thanksgiving break is November 25th through the 29th. So we have no school, so go home and take some rest and rest off all that turkey. Also, School Talk with Emerson is every Friday at 7:30.
Hey.
If you missed the show, don't worry. It replays back on Sunday at 2 p.m.
And that's Ben. That's Ben. The big board. My coffee has arrived. Y'all know I got to have my coffee. But y'all know, and I'm going to get right to it. I've been waiting all week long to try to get to our airways here at Giant 90.9. Because when you look in the dictionary and you look under the word broadcaster, look under the word mentor, look under to a champion for the voiceless, you'll see a picture of Amos Brown. I mean, you'll see a picture of Amos Brown. I mean, I'm 61 years old, and it's been a long time since someone has passed. When I look back and think about his input in the community, or the fact that a person can pass and leave a void in the community, that for me that has not happened in a long time. So I wanted to bring my educators in here real quick, because Amos Brown left a lasting impression on Ben Davis High School and Wayne Township Schools. He's been out here, y'all. And I don't think folks understand that. They hear him on the radio all the time, you know, but he's been out here to the schools talking to our kids. I posted a couple of pictures of him when he was at the Ben Davis University, had that microphone in our students' faces and teaching it and learning. And I just wanted to bring you guys in for a second and just talk about the man, Amos Brown, and how he loved kids and students, how he loved his craft, and how that left an impression on us and our kids. Mr. Easter, Mr. Goins?
Well, I thought, I heard the news on Saturday. It was just shocking. Because I just, had the capacity to be on his show last month,
okay,
in October. And I was so impressed with his ability to multitask, how he could have five guests in the studio. He was answering emails, reading news releases, wondered where his news release was from Governor Pence on the infrastructure. I mean, he was going to town. Had two or three things working in his head, was listening, asking follow-up questions. I couldn't believe the man. Mm-hmm. So it was shocking to me to see that he had passed.
Yeah.
And that goes to show you just, you know, how quickly things can occur in life. But, you know, to your point with his passion for education, he was always writing something on schools.
Yeah.
He was always writing something on you know, what public schools were doing a good job, what public schools need to improve. And he always had the data to back it up. Because he was such a demographer, he was loved demographics and loved diving in and looking for things. So it was pretty amazing. You know, the kind of the outpouring and the outreach everything else that he did, and I think you nailed it. Yeah. I mean, he was just he leaves such a huge hole. It's hard to believe one person can fill it.
Back in 2008, when BDTV, Giant 90.9, were out and about chasing around Senator Obama at that time, he came to Indiana. Senator Obama came to Indiana 10 times in Indiana as president and as senator. 7 out of 10 times, BDTV was in the place. Mr. Goins, your kids were all over the place, covering President and Senator Obama. And they were interacting with Amos Brown, learning from that man. That's awesome.
Well, thanks to you, Emerson, you were able to snatch those credentials and give our kids opportunities that they still talked about today. You know, I came to Indianapolis in December of 1988, and Amos Brown was an icon back then as a young journalist. Respected him, admired his work ethic, and his ability to get the story, get the news, and then enjoyed him over the years. I didn't listen to him much on the radio, but I always read his article in the Recorder. So I looked forward into seeing what he was writing about. He was always a major voice for our community, the Black community, but also the state of Indiana, and he'll be missed. I pray that someone will take the reins and be able to step in his shoes, or step even in one shoe of his, to continue to be that voice, to give us the opportunity that we all deserve. Yeah, and he really was one that, you know, when you saw him on an assignment, you figured you better strap up your boots, because he was going to try to beat you to get the story, which was always great competition. But just learned a lot from him just watching, mm-hmm. and his eagerness and his fairness.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what we want in a young journalist that we have a chance to mold and create here at Ben Davis High School in Wayne Township. So Amos will be missed, and I just pray that that somebody will step forward. We've lost many Black voices, businessmen, politicians, and advocates for our community. And Amos is one of those that will so sorely be missed.
Yeah, that is so true. And when you think about broadcasting and just everything, you know, I mean, the picture I posted on Facebook was he was sitting at Ben Davis University, and you saw Flora Jones there. Then he had interviewing Superintendent Butts. You know, Amos was all over the place, and he was genuine. And what you saw is what you get. And really, like I said, he was truthful. And even if he disagreed with you, he still respected you. Well, that was huge.
And that's the other thing. I mean, he played no favorites.
Yeah.
You didn't want to be on the wrong side of Amos Brown, because he was going to, you know, I think Mr. Goins mentioned he was fair, mm-hmm. but he was tough. And you didn't want to be on that tough side because he was going to be on you. And so many of our politicians locally, nationally have had, you know, the experience of being on both sides of Amos when he was praising and when he was being tough.
Right.
But he was always fair, and he always came at you with facts. Mm-hmm. And so many times anymore in journalism, you don't see that as much. Someone will come at you and they won't have the facts. And he always came at you, but with the facts. And that's important to remember. I think Mr. Goins hit on a couple of huge things, though. Stepping in one shoe, I like that metaphor, yeah. because it's going to take probably more than one person to fill that void, but somebody has to fill it, right. because it's such a critical spot that we're now void of in this town. I mean,
yeah, it's so true. And what we're going to have to do, I think we all going to have to be Amos Brown to a certain degree. You know, he spoke out for the ones that didn't have a voice. You know, we talk about looking out for our brother, looking out for our sister. It's going to take us also to be part of that Amos Brown Amos Brown, is to give the voiceless, you know, a voice. You know, when we see injustice, speak out against it. You know, when we see something is wrong, say something, you know.
Well, I just look back to one of his last shows. I had a chance to hear he was on Dr. Farabee downtown about some things, and he kept he asked him, well, can you give me the zip codes of this particular thing where these people live, and can you give me this? Can you give me that? Because he wanted to analyze all that information. And of course, they gave him the information, and he analyzed it, and then it became, well, you see, this doesn't hold up because of this. And that was just the way he worked.
Right.
You know, I was sitting at home on Saturday watching college football and had a house full of family, and someone received an alert saying that, you know, Amos Brown had passed, and we were all like, oh, no, wow. You know, it was just like a hush.
Yeah, air went out of the room.
In my house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there was a crawl on ABC, Channel 6, and it said Amos Brown has passed, died in Chicago. And it was just, it was one of those things that, you know, maybe you'll never forget.
Right.
And it just kind of lets you know and paints the picture of the impact that Amos had and will continue to have on a generation, a city, a state. So it was tough. And I guess the important thing is that we do move forward. And you're talking about there are going to be several of us that will need to step in. And the three of us will have to be three of those people.
I agree.
Because we have an outstanding opportunity here as we continue to mold and shape young people. And think, you know, about, you know, the times or the stories or what we heard in shows, the impact that Amos had.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of impact, and John, let you handle this one. Governor Pence just recently, just awarded the highest honor the state can do.
Yeah, this comes from Governor Pence's office from yesterday. Governor Pence posthumously named Amos Brown III the 2015 recipient of the Sachem Award, which is Indiana's highest civilian honor. The announcement comes from following Mr. Brown's untimely death at his family home in Chicago last Friday. Governor Pence is also directing flags at state facilities in Marion County to be flown and have staff in honor of radio broadcaster Amos Brown on the day of his funeral, which is tomorrow, Saturday, November 14th, 2015. He asked businesses and residents to lower their flags to have staff to honor the life and legacy of Amos Brown. The Sachem, whose name comes from the Algonquin term given to leaders who exhibit wisdom, judgment, and grace, and whose character underscores the importance of moral example, is given annually by the governor to Hoosiers whose life and character exemplify these qualities. Previous recipients include Bob Knight and some other folks, but the Sachem Award, John Wooden, the Sachem Award is huge. That's a big award to go to Amos. And, you know, I'm just a little aside here. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is an Amos Brown moment here.
Yeah.
I saw people throwing shade last night on Twitter, on social media, because it came posthumously for Amos. And certainly it is a shame that maybe he did not get the award during life. But to throw shade at the governor for honoring Amos in this way.
That's wrong.
I think that's wrong.
That's wrong.
So,
that's tacky.
You know, put the politics away at least 2 weeks. But that's an aside.
But think about this. I'm going to bring our other guest in for our band.
Right.
I thank Mr. Goring for taking time out of his busy schedule to stop in here. And Mr. Easter, you too. I know you got things you got to do too. But what gets me is this. We all got to understand life is huge. And really, when you're doing your stuff while you're living your life and doing all these great things, people really don't see it. They see you, they see the things that you do, they see you every day, and you're doing so much, but you really don't see it. But sometimes, I don't know why, is when Laura calls us home, it's like a big giant spotlight shows everything that you've done. You go like, dang.
Well,
I don't.
And that's you just know, me. Just to show you, though, with Amos, and we talk about his involvement not only with the black community, but his involvement with the community, period.
Mm.
When you look at his final tweet, you know what it was about?
Mm.
Bike lanes.
Oh, my goodness.
These new bike lanes downtown.
Yeah.
Where you have parking in the middle of the street now.
Saw that last night.
You got parking in the middle of the street. You got the bike lane running down the side and traffic on the other side. That's what his final tweet was about. Was about these new bike lanes. And you know, you look back and you're like, well, that was his final tweet. But that shows you that he was concerned about all different sorts of things in this community. You know, it's a shame. I think Abdul does a nice job on his show focusing in on local matters. But for 2 hours on WTLC AM every day, you had a show that was focusing on something local.
Right.
We don't have that anymore.
No.
That's over 30 minutes on this show.
Yeah.
That's over. We're going to get to it here in just a minute. But
that's 40 years, bro. That's 40 years.
Right.
Amos Brown's been an advocate for Annapolis community.
Abdul says he's got 28 minutes. That's his show. It's 28 minutes when you take the ads out and everything. 28 minutes. That's what he has.
Yeah.
In his hour.
Brown is this
so,
huge.
You know, with Amos and Amos, like we said, he was tough. Mm. He was fair, and we're gonna miss him.
We're gonna miss him. His impact is great, and I wanted to have our time and use our airways to honor him, and we did that. And now I appreciate Mr. Goins, appreciate Mr. Easter, and everyone else. And my hats and heart go out to Amos Brown family as they deal with this and the community. So let's clear the board. Give me 30 seconds. We'll bring my kids in. Bands of America's in town on School Talk.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
What is that? Well, it's the Bands of America. It's a program of music for all. That's my impression with Jim Carrey. Here we go. Set the stage. Downtown, 8:30. Lucas Oil. We got Ben Davis Band on the court. Okay, on the field. And they're running. And they're jumping. It's football. No, it's baseball. No, it's a band. It's playing. It's a horn. It's drums. It's the drum majors. Yay! In my studio. I got my kids. I love my Ben Davis kids. And starting from left to right to left. I don't know. I can't spell. Tell me your name. Give me microphone.
Zach Camp.
Nicole Zellers.
Xavier Robertson.
Say that again.
Xavier
Robertson. Yeah, I like that.
Francisco Cepeda.
I like that too. Y'all say it again. I like voices. I really into voices and stuff like that. Can you tell? It's really, really awesome. Ben Davis Band performed last night at 8:30. Last night, Zach, my producer, plays trumpet. So, hey. So, we're going to do this and talk a little bit. Okay, first of all, real quickly, microphones again. Give me your name and where you're going to college.
Zach Camp, IEPY.
Okay.
Nicole Zeller's not entirely sure yet.
Oh, that's okay. As long as you go. If not, I'll be at your house. You heard the movie called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner by Sidney Poitier? Look it up. It'd be Guess Who's Coming to Dinner by Emerson Adam.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm just not sure where yet.
Okay, cool. I wanted to eat, but I was just kidding. Xavier.
Xavier Robertson, you know, I'm not really sure yet myself.
Okay. Know. Well, I have dessert at your house then, so you don't know where you're going. I'll come visit you too. Okay.
Francisco, IUPUI.
IUPUI? Okay, Zach, where you going?
IUPUI.
IUPUI? All right, got my band there. Okay, talk to me now. 8:30 last night, y'all performed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm giving the mic up. Y'all tell me how to go, how to win, what you do, all that good stuff. Just take it, Zach.
All right. Well, last night we performed, and for us as seniors, this is our last chance to perform.
All y'all seniors?
Yeah.
Okay.
For us, this was very emotional, and this contest is our last one of the season. So for us to go through it and for us to perform at that facility, knowing that this is our last time in this band, with this marching band performing at that facility for this contest, it was quite emotional.
Well, since I'm the one that's on the podium in charge of tempo, it's really cool because I get to see a lot of different things with it. I get to see, you know, how the, like, making sure everyone's together, seeing how the, like, the energy that's coming from the band and everything. And last night, they put it out there, and it was a really good performance. And I had someone tell me once, we can always tell how good we're doing by how much you get into the music. And I got really into it last night. It was really awesome. It was a good performance. I'm really proud of them.
Just jump, y'all.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm not like these three guys right here. You know, I don't really conduct. I play the soprano sax with the quintet in the show. So, you know, I'm part of the music making that goes on in the field. And, you know, I'm really...
Hey, man, if you don't make the music, we don't have the sound. So you're really important, man. What are you talking about?
So, like, you know, it was amazing to be out there part of a performance like that. You know, we had a good one last night. You know, I'm really proud of everybody in the band. You know, we really came through and we did something spectacular last night.
All we just tell them is the kids to have fun, give it all you got, and I mean, it's exciting seeing what they do since the beginning to the end. Just the band comes together, plays their heart out, and they give it all they got.
Yeah, it was really exciting yesterday, to echo everybody else. It was a really good run. It was great to walk off the field when we were finished, seeing everybody smiling and like pumped that it was so good.
Now watching you guys, now when you're performing, now you're concentrating on your craft, how huge is the audience? How huge is the audience? And then how huge is your family support?
The audience, when they announce us and when they're cheering and yelling, for me, that helps me motivate myself to the end. That helps me push myself. That helps me keep me moving, keep me driving to the end. And with all my family, my mom was a Ben Davis alumni. My aunt was a Ben Davis alumni. My mom marched in 1993, the last year we won state. And for her to motivate me to push myself to the excellence that I have over the past few years and with this season, it's helped me push myself to what I am today. And that is, you know, really good, really good at marching.
Whoa, just said, so you're really good.
I'm really,
well, I'm really mad good. At really I'm good mad at having fun. I'm
very, very modest too.
Go ahead, ladies first.
Well, great. Well, the audience, depending on the contest, it really ranges in size. If you go to, like, state and some of your, like, national finals, you get probably, like, 20,000 to 30,000 people at these contests watching.
But how does
you.
It feel? Even but is bigger the audience the thing, or just the fact that does it drive you? Does the audience drive you, or are you just in what you're in with?
Oh, yeah, the audience is definitely a huge part. Because especially with our parents that know the show by now, and they know when to cheer, and you get to a part when they perform it really well, and you hear, like, the whole audience just explode. It's not just, like, the Ben Davis parents. You get, like, the parent, everyone that's there, and it's just, it's really exciting, because you bring the energy, and the audience, like, feeds it back in, and it's, the support from the parents is huge.
And it can be a little nerve-wracking, too, for me, especially, not trying to mess up or anything. But they're a huge support to us. The audience is a huge support for us.
Well, who's left?
Come on.
Come on now.
All right, so the audiences, you know, once you get to things like the prelims, the semifinals, the finals. It seems like the audience just grows and grows and grows, and they can be a huge part in helping us, because, you know, once we deliver, you know, what we do, and they enjoy it, and they kind of get hyped up, and they start cheering, you know, it kind of hypes us, and it pumps us up, and makes us perform even better.
Are you guys' parents, have all your parents been in band? Whose parents have not been in band? Okay, tell me about your experience with your parents not being in band. How'd you get in band with your parents? A lot of times band kids get in because their parents were there and they're saying, you're going to be a band. I'm just kidding. But tell me how.
Similar situation. My sister was in band. Okay. She was in the pit. So that's the people who don't march. They I guess, general terms, the giant xylophones, some marimbas and whatnot. So when I was going into seventh grade, my mom was like, you have to do band because your sister did it, because it would have fallen me as a freshman and her as a senior, and so she wanted us both in marching band for at least 1 year. So she made me choose an instrument, which I was fine with that, and I ended up choosing trumpet. So, yeah, that's how I got in band.
That's pretty cool. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Pops.
Yeah.
I like that.
Man. Yeah. For me, I did band because, like, in middle school, like, low-key, the reason I did it is because all my friends was doing it. So, you know, I tried it out and learned playing the saxophone, you know, fell in love with it and wanted to continue. So that's the reason I'm still in it. That's the reason I do it.
Okay. And you, Mr. Man?
I just got into band because I don't like orchestra. I fall asleep in there.
You fall asleep in the orchestra?
Yeah, hearing orchestra and then... choir, well, I can't sing, so...
I can't.
So band was an option. I really liked it. I stuck with the clarinet, and till now I really love it, playing it.
And the lady in the house. And okay, you have band parents.
Yeah, well, my mom was in band.
You really got it then.
Yeah.
You come out of the... when you were born... Their parents said, here's my child. She's going to band. No. And the doctor smacked you a couple times.
No, they left it open. I sort of picked it on my own.
Okay.
But I really liked it, and I really liked all my friends and everything, and I sort of fell in love with it. But it was really funny because my mom was a saxophone and drum major, and now I'm a saxophone and a drum major, and it's turned out sort of funny like that.
One thing I like about band kids is, and y'all can, I got time, y'all can talk about these, it's about the values that you get from playing in the band. And I think these are really good lessons for life. People, you got to get along with people. And if you can't be a band kid. I mean, because y'all have some tight quarters on the court, on the field, off the field, in the buses, going places, and you got to get along with people. So how has band helped you guys as it comes to being better citizens? And I'll start with Xavier.
Well, you know, band, you know, it does teach you a lot of lessons. You know, it tells you how to deal and communicate, you know, with a lot of people. That's something that I definitely learned, you know, especially being a drum major in the band. Because I know there was that one point where me and Nicole, we didn't get along too well. But, you know, we good now. We good now. You know, you got to learn how to work through those things. And, you know, being forced to kind of be together all the time, you kind of work out your differences eventually, you know, in the long run. And I appreciate all the things that band teaches you.
Nicole, he called you out.
He's not wrong. There was a time when we weren't, like, really that great. But and when they called, like, the four of us names, I was like, how are we going to work out this year? But, like, honestly, I wouldn't trade these three guys for anything. I really like them. But I don't know, band, there's also a lot of patience involved because you got a lot of freshmen that don't understand what's going on. You get all the questions and you have to learn how to deal with that. But I mean, communication's huge. Just like time management, being proactive, making sure everything's done before it needs to be done and not trying to like quickly get everything done. And yeah, it's huge.
Well, I know one thing when it comes to dealing with people, learning what your passion is and bringing out your passion, being innovative. I mean, it makes you think and being innovative. How can you take that skill out into life as some of the things that you want to do in college. How does band help you with that as far as trying to figure out what you want to do and how you want to do it, or maybe doing something in a different way? Nicole?
There's always a certain thing that, like, it's just you can't get it right, and you have to come up with new ways to do it and be really innovative and figure out how are we going to get this done? How can we perform this to the best of our ability? And work through that, whether it's with props, trying to figure out how to get the props to do what they need to do, getting formations, getting kids to teaching kids how to march if they're not quite getting it, and just trying to, like, think outside the box and all that. And I'm planning on going into either physical therapy or biomedical engineering, and both things that you really need to, like, think about, you know, if this isn't working, what's our next step? Where do we go next? And we do a lot of that in mm-hmm. band, especially being drum majors.
Awesome. We ran out of time. I wish I had more time. Zach, call the principal. Call the superintendent. Tell me we need an hour for our show. Give you guys a half hour credit for a class, or turn to a study hall or something. This be a study hall. It'd be a great study hall, a national study hall. Because you do so much, and so much I wanted to share. I know tonight, now, what you wait for, you're done. You got to wait for the, if you made it to semi-state, right? Or something.
Yeah, well, we have preliminary awards tonight. And tonight we'll find out if we made semifinals in the morning. And then we have semifinals and semifinals awards and then finals. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
And the teacher just walked in there. Mr. Cole, where'd he go?
Mr. Rudolph.
Snatch him. This is a lot of radio. We just making stuff as we go along. Yeah. Where'd he go? He disappeared?
There's no chance he's coming.
He no chance? Oh, man. We'll come and take a picture. But anyway. Okay, now, tonight, so you'll wait for the responses, right?
Yeah.
Now,
we go down
who wants to come back next week and give me a report?
I'll do that.
We'll all be back.
Well, come on back. Stop. Y'all, yeah. Zach, all y'all stop at the big window. I don't care what I'm showing. I don't know what my show is next week. Mr. Who I got? Who? Anyway, they know. I got Trek. Streck? Drek?
Trek.
I don't know who I got. My Shrek. Producer tell me. But anyway, stop at the big window. And we'll get you in here. And I want to report. I want to know what we did. This has been a great day, a sad day in the community, Pastor Amos Brown, but a great day for my kids. I'm proud of y'all. I'm proud of your parents. Magic button for the parents. Magic button.
Whoa.
Because I'll say it again. If I can clone these four kids, put them out on the street, the city will be a better place to live. I know it. I know this. Well, I got to get them back to class before I get in trouble and I find myself in detention. So, as always, to the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what you're going to be giving back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Copy the band, kids. They'll take you the right way. Copy the band, kids. You can't go wrong. It's okay to be the copycat. But be careful who you copy. And young man, be a man. Pull up your pants. I can't stand sagging. It's driving me crazy. I know you might be smart. I know you got brains, but you look stupid. Yeah, Emerson said it. Pull them up. Now listen, you like sagging? What do you think about sagging?
I hate it.
That's not, what do you think? No, that's not attractive.
They think ladies like it. They think girls look the I can't stand it.
Take it from Nicole.
Nicole says, don't do it. If you was in Preston School, not if you was in Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, Giant 90.9. Class and miss until next week when I have something crazy to show. I don't know. See you then on Girl Talk.